Mary Lou's New Telescope by Don Kelly, illustrated by Michael McEwing. As long as she could remember, Mary Lou had been fascinated by the night sky. She marveled at the way stars twinkled. It was as though the stars were speaking to her. One evening, she noticed something unusual. There, in the western sky, was a star that didn't twinkle. The following day at school, Mary Lou asked her teacher about the star that didn't twinkle.
"You probably were looking at Venus,"
her teacher replied.
"When Venus is in the west, we call it the evening star, but it isn't a star at all. It's a planet, one of 8 planets in our solar system. A few months from now, Venus will be in the eastern sky. People will call it the morning star." "Venus, Mars, Jupiter, and Saturn are relatively easy planets to find,"
continued her teacher.
"In some ways, they look like stars, but they don't twinkle like stars. Planet Mercury, on the other hand, is not as easy to find because it is so close to the sun's bright light. If you decide to look for Mercury, make certain the sun is below the horizon."
Mary Lou and her classmates looked puzzled.
"That's because if you stare at the sun,"
explained her teacher,
"its light will burn the inside of your eyes. Did you know that our eyes can't feel pain? The sun could damage our eyes, and we wouldn't even know it was happening."
Their teacher walked to the back of the classroom and pointed to a solar system poster on the wall.
"You would need a telescope or a pair of binoculars to see the planets Uranus and Neptune,"
her teacher continued.
"Pluto, the dwarf planet, is the hardest one to find because it is so small and far away."
Her teacher placed a DVD titled Planets and Stars in a machine and pressed the play button.
"Planets in our solar system,"
began the narrator,
"are much closer to Earth than our stars. The nearest star is so far away that its light needs 4 to 5 years to travel from its surface to your eyes. Stars farther away need thousands, even millions of years for their light to reach Earth. The only exception is the sun. Our sun is also a star, an average-sized 5-billion-year-old white star. Light from our sun takes 8 minutes to reach planet Earth."
That night, as Mary Lou gazed at stars in the night sky, she thought about what the narrator had said. Did the light from one of those stars begin its journey towards the solar system when dinosaurs lived on our planet? What if she lived on a planet near a star 100 million light years from Earth? If she used a super powerful telescope to look back at Earth, would she see dinosaurs living as they did millions of years ago? She could tell scientists what dinosaurs looked like and how they behaved. If scientists asked her,
"How do you know that, Mary Lou?"
she would answer,
"Because I watched them through my telescope."
Mary Lou became more and more interested in the night sky. For her birthday, her parents gave her a telescope.
"Happy gazing to you,"
they sang.
"Happy gazing to you. Happy gazing, dear Mary Lou. Happy gazing to you."
Mary Lou could hardly wait for night to come so she could look at Venus through her new telescope. That evening, there were no clouds in the sky. Mary Lou carried her telescope from the house to her front lawn. She placed the tripod legs firmly on the ground so her telescope wouldn't tip over and fall. She pointed the telescope toward the sky, but she couldn't see Venus. The nearby streetlight shone into her telescope and into Mary Lou's eyes. She moved her telescope to a different part of the lawn, but another streetlight shone into her eyes. Her father had an idea.
"Let's drive to the park and try your telescope there,"
he suggested. At the park, Mary Lou pointed her telescope at the sky, but light from a nearby shopping mall prevented her from seeing Venus. Disappointed, Mary Lou carried her telescope back to their car. On Friday afternoon, Mary Lou's parents had a wonderful surprise for her.
Get your telescope, Mary Lou,
said her mother.
We are going to the farm to visit Grandma and Grandpa.
As they were driving through the countryside, Mary Lou gazed out the side window and smiled. It was getting dark, and stars were beginning to appear in the evening sky. When they arrived at the farm, Mary Lou scrambled from the car and looked up. She was astounded. Thousands and thousands of stars twinkled at her. She had never seen so many stars at the same time. Mary Lou heard her grandfather's familiar voice.
How was the drive?
He asked.
Grandpa! Grandma!
She shouted and ran toward them, giving each a huge grizzly bear hug. Mary Lou's father checked his wristwatch.
Listen up, everyone!
He called out.
Look high in the sky above the barn. Does everyone see the W?
He pointed a pen-like object, emitting a thin beam of green light at five stars arranged in the pattern of a W.
That's the constellation Cassiopeia,
he noted.
Keep your...
A collective gasp came from the mouths of the tiny group. A star had appeared from the left side of the constellation and was moving in the direction of the pole star Polaris. The star became brighter and brighter until it was the brightest object in the sky. Then, just as quickly, it began to dim and disappear.
What was that?
Exclaimed Mary Lou.
An iridium flare,
replied her father.
It's caused by sunlight reflecting off the side of a communication satellite. Before we left the city, I had checked an astronomy webpage. I read that there will be a flare at the farm tonight. It occurred exactly when and where the internet had said it would, but that's not all. In a few more minutes, we are going to see the International Space Station.
As they waited for the space station, Mary Lou and her family gazed high overhead at the Milky Way. A shooting star streaked above them. Satellites and airplanes moved across the sky.
Here it comes, right on schedule,
shouted her father excitedly. A bright star-like object appeared in the northwest sky and moved in their direction. A couple of minutes later, the space station was directly above them. Mary Lou waved at the astronauts on board. She wondered if they could see her and if they were waving back.
Now, watch what happens,
grinned her father. No sooner had he finished speaking than the space station began to dim. In a few seconds, it had disappeared.
It has moved into the Earth's shadow,
he explained.
Now it's nighttime on the space station. It'll pass by again, though. It makes complete a trip around the Earth in just over 90 minutes.
Mary Lou peered through her telescope at Venus. What she saw reminded her of a tiny crescent moon. She pointed her telescope at Saturn and looked through the eyepiece.
Grandma, Grandpa, look at this.
Each grandparent took a turn looking through her telescope at Saturn's rings.
Why, it's beautiful, Mary Lou,
her grandmother exclaimed.
It's as if I'm seeing a picture of Saturn in a book. But can you believe it? I'm actually looking at the real thing.
Her grandfather removed his hat and stared into the night sky.
So that's a planet,
he said as he scratched his head.
Ever since I was a kid, I wondered why some stars didn't twinkle. All these years, and now I find out that they're not stars after all? Doesn't that beat all?
He chuckled.
It just goes to show that you can learn something new every day.
Why can't I see the sky like this at home, Grandpa?
Asked Mary Lou.
Well, young lady,
her grandfather began,
your grandma and I don't have as many lights here at the farm as you do in the city. The few outside lights we have are full cutoff lights that shine only on the ground. They help us see our way to and from the barn at night. They also are a lot more efficient, which helps us save money on electricity bills.
Mary Lou thought the best thing about full cutoff lights was that she could see so many stars and planets. As Mary Lou and her parents were driving home, she asked them,
why can't our city use lights like Grandpa's?
Her mother and father exchanged glances and smiled.
I don't know why, Mary Lou,
her father replied. Her mother thought for a moment and then answered,
"Maybe they can, Mary Lou. Maybe they can."
On Monday after school, Mary Lou and her parents visited City Hall. They asked to speak with the city's chief engineer. Mary Lou explained to the engineer how full cutoff lights would help their city save money and, at the same time, allow her to observe the night sky with her new telescope. 2 weeks later, the lights on their street were replaced by full cutoff lights. Since that time, whenever Mary Lou used her telescope, street lights did not shine in her eyes. On clear nights, Mary Lou saw many wondrous things in the sky. She practiced drawing pictures of them in her journal. Each time she looked at Jupiter, its four Galilean moons were in different positions. One special night, all four moons were on the same side of the planet. She recorded the date when she first saw planet Mercury. Mary Lou's journal list became longer and longer. She filled one journal book and began another. In less than a year, she had received her Explore the Universe certificate from the Royal Astronomical Society of Canada. Her teacher asked her what she wanted to be when she grew up.
"I want to be an astronomer,"
Mary Lou replied. Her teacher smiled.
"I think you are an astronomer already, Mary Lou."